I'm Levi. I'm here with Travis and Nate, and today we're going to be talking about fear. We're going to be talking about fear because our culture has somewhat put on their scaredy pants because of the coronavirus. I'm not sure if that's right or wrong that they've put on the scaredy pants, but around here we laugh a little bit about it, and when we're nervous or there's tension, that's what we do. Travis is our resident meme man. He puts those things together for us and fills our email boxes up with those. So, Travis, what is your favorite meme?
I've been putting in a lot of work after hours, and I gotta say, this is, don't hold this against me because I wasn't allowed to watch this show when I was a kid, but it's one of the funniest ones that I've seen yet, and it's got a character from Beavis and Butthead. I don't know which one it is, but he's the funny guy.
Who's that?
I don't know who that is.
I don't either. But it's got him and then little baby Yoda from the Star Wars show movie.
He's so cute.
And they're standing in the middle of Costco and all the shelves are empty and he's looking for TP.
That is a weird response in our culture, right? Let's buy all the toilet paper. Like, that seems like a weird... The hand sanitizer thing makes sense to me.
Sure.
Like, let's keep our hands clean. Let's keep the thing. But the toilet paper, what does that have to do with anything?
I don't know. I have no idea. My wife was laughing about an article that she found. It was on Babylon Bee, which is kind of this sarcastic, fake Christian-ese type of thing. But she said, homeschoolers say they're prepared for self-quarantine. And we as homeschooling family, like, we're just laughing about all the jokes. And they're like, and be sure to stock up on your toilet paper because you need some objects for your crafting supplies for the next month. So that's the only legitimate thing I've heard.
If the coronavirus is coming around and you've got to stock up for like 2+ weeks of toilet paper, maybe your problem really isn't the coronavirus. Maybe you've got some other issues that you should be going to see the doctor about.
We laugh about this, but the World Health Organization, WHO, declared the outbreak a public...
That was funny. I like that.
...emergency of international concern. So it's real, and I think there's some fears that are legitimate that go into it. It's a natural part of humanity to be fear. But where does fear actually come from?
Well, when we look at fear, like, fear is like this response when we recognize our limitations in a situation. Like, we're human. We don't have all the power. We understand that there will come a point where we're going to die, and we just lack the power to be in control of all situations and such. And so when there's a situation where we don't have the authority, we don't have the power to control or take care of it, or don't have that comfort level, then we become afraid. And sometimes what we do with that fear can be problematic. And yet, as we look through scripture, constantly we see this message of fear not, right? And I think, Levi, you said it was what, 80 times?
It's over 80 times, I think, that is used, the idea of fear not throughout the scriptures. And I don't think it's like God going, it's sinful to fear, and with a crooked finger at us,
sure,
yelling at us. It's more of a comfort, like, fear not, I'm here, I've got this, I'm with you. And if you look into the scriptures, this idea of fear, I think, really does come out of our lack of ability to control. It also comes out of what we put our identity in. Mm-hmm. And so, like, if you look at the markets, they're not good right now. They have dropped a wee bit. And, for some people who put their identity in their portfolios, this is a very scary time. How's your portfolio, by the way?
This could be a really good opportunity for you.
This is true.
Strike while the iron's hot.
Yeah. And so how's your portfolio?
Probably not good.
Probably not good.
Yeah, with the drops in the thousands and stuff like that, it's not going to look well.
And so you have that. So you have the market chunk of this that's producing fear, but you also have the health concerns. And so if your identity is being in your health and in how you're operating in life, that also provides a great amount of fear when you're nervous to be around people and whatnot. But the scriptures talk about it in a little bit different way. What we put our hope in, what we put our trust in, what we put our identity in King David, he's writing a song. He's, you know, the king of the nation, and he has, you know, he has wealth, he has power, he has all of those things. And in Psalms 20, verse 7, he says, "Some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we trust in the name of the Lord our God." And so even though he had all of those things, even though he had all of that stuff that he could have placed his identity and his trust in, he says, no, we're going to trust in God. We're going to trust in the name of the Lord.
Yeah, and I like that example of King David, because in his life, he had some legitimate fears. Like, there was times where he was running from the king who was trying to kill him, and everyone was looking for him. And so he had to hide. Like, if he showed his face, he would likely be found, and someone would tell the king that he's there, and the king would bring his army and come after him. And yet, he has this amazing trust in God. In Psalm 23, he said, "Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death." And so he's not delegitimizing like his situation. It is scary. It is chaotic. He doesn't know what to do. But he says, "I will not fear evil." But he looks to God. "You are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me." And so it's not so much that we should expect to never fear if we have enough faith in God. Mm-hmm. It's that when we're in those situations that are fearful, we know who to go to. We know that God is with us and that He does want what's best for us. He does care for us.
Well, even Jesus in Matthew chapter 6, and I think it's Philippians 4, calls us to have faith in those moments of fear and go to Him in prayer. Like, we're not just supposed to hunker down in our bunkers with our toilet paper and our hand sanitizer. I think you're supposed to go to the Lord, seek Him. This is a great opportunity for the church and people of faith to step up. Mm. We talked a little bit, Nate and I, you had a conversation this morning, I think it was, where we were talking about how hospitals started out. It was because of people within the faith community saw epidemics and plagues come in, and they housed people who were sick. They cared for them. They put themselves at risk over taking care of others, which we're called to do. We're called to love other people.
Which has always been a part of the Christian faith. You can go all the way back to 251 AD. There's a plague that hits the Roman Empire, decimates the Roman Empire. And Dionysius, he's writing about this, and he talks about how that people who were unbelievers, they're like running for the hills because there's fear in this. They didn't want to get sick because this world was all they had. He writes about this, and he talks about how Christians were more likely to stay and minister to the suffering. And he writes these words, "Most of our brothers in Christians showed unbounded love and loyalty, never sparing themselves and thinking only of one another. Needless of danger, they took charge of the sick, attending to their need and ministering to them in Christ. And with them departed this life serenely happy," which means that some of them actually died doing this. Yeah. They said, "Hey, we're going to give our lives to serve other people. We're going to give our lives because our life isn't all held up in this. There is this reward and this promise that Jesus says that this life isn't it, mm-hmm. That there is another life to come." And so they were willing to sacrifice in that way.
Yeah.
When there's even, is it Charles Spurgeon during, I don't remember what the, it was the 19th century cholera, however you say that, cholera. What's that? Like,
cholera.
There were stories of him going from house to house to be with people, to minister to them, but to care for them physically too.
Yeah.
So we hear those things, we see those things.
Yeah, and the flip side of that though is we don't put ourselves in unnecessary risk. We don't like drive our car off a cliff, right? Like, mm-hmm. you can say, "Oh, God will protect me." That's not what we're talking about. But there is something about responding to fear with a faith in God and with this opportunity to show people God's love, show them that, you know, our God is great and powerful, and we trust in Him.
Yeah, I think part of that though also comes out of like what grabs our heart. I think part of it is that fear can grab our heart and it can make us, you know, do some kind of crazy things and it dictates decisions at times that are not our usual decisions. But I think what the scriptures teach, and I think what God has called us to do is to remember who he is. Mm-hmm. You know, our God's not, he's not surprised by a viral outbreak. He's not like, oh my goodness, I didn't see that one coming. And he's also not disinterested in our fears. He's the rock. He's our light. He's our salvation. Psalms 27, the beginning of it, talks about that idea. This is a really good time for followers of Jesus to look toward the Psalms, look toward those people who had to lament and go, hey, this is scary. This is what's going on in my life. Because what you see in the Psalms is this movement from God, where are you? What's going on, to God, you are great. You are awesome. I trust you. And they start to experience, I think, the love of God. What the problem, I think, comes in is we exchange like this really good thing, like the psalmist doing this, we exchange this for a news feed for our support. And that's not going to help.
No.
That is not going to help. And if you watch the news feed, you know, for any amount of time, you give yourself 15 minutes and all of us are going to be scared and buying toilet paper.
I've already got an ulcer.
Yeah.
I think the crazy part about it is that fear and worry go hand in hand. And it's hard to distinguish between the two of those. And even just having conversations with my own kids at home, like, you worry about stuff, you're fearful of it, you put your time and your energy to it. If it's big enough to worry about in our hearts, it's big enough to bring to the God that loves us, that created us, that knows what's coming, that knows what's ahead. So it's where we're putting our hope in what we can prepare for or prevent versus the one that created us and can know from the time before we were born till the ends of the world. Like, he's got it all.
Yeah, you start to lean into God. You start to see how much he loves and how much he cares and how much he is there with us. And you start to do that through the scripture, through prayer. And I think something happens. The God who loves you, you begin to love. And it pushes away fear. The scriptures talk about the idea that perfect love, it casts out fear. It pushes it away from us. And I think for us, as we walk through this, and, you know, we'll joke about it, we'll laugh about certain things, but there is an amount of fear. Like, how do we do this? What does this look like? What are the practical applications or implications of this in our lives? Do churches close down for a while? Do you know, the university is closed down? And so do schools close down? And for some of you out there, if the schools close down, there's a fear that, what are you going to do with your kids? How are you going to work? Where's money going to come from? And those are really practical things that I don't think God is surprised by. I don't think he's disinterested by those fears. And he wants you to bring those fears and those thoughts and those things to him.
Yeah. And the one thing to remember is that Jesus himself shared fears.
Mm-hmm.
He had fears. And when he was going to the cross, he took those fears to his Father and prayed. And the scriptures tell us that he was so passionate, so caught up in this thing that was about to happen, him going to the cross, that he was sweating blood. And, you know, we have a Savior who has felt some of our deepest hurts, our deepest problems, and fear is one of those things. And yet he still sets this example for us. He trusted in his Father and did what his Father asked him to do, even though it cost him dearly. He suffered and sacrificed himself. And sometimes God calls us as his followers to sacrifice our comfort and to experience some suffering with the joy that he provides. And regardless of the situation, the Spirit of the living God who dwelled in Jesus and raised him from the dead is the same one that can give us the comfort and the peace that we need in any situation. And yeah, as we're talking about some really real and hard things, like, what do we do if our business shuts down for a month and we're living paycheck to paycheck, right?
I think what you're saying is a great thing to remember, because a lot of the times when I face fear, one of the first things that goes into my mind is how can I beat this? How can mm-hmm. I prepare for this? How can I get yeah. over this? When really the first line of defense that we have should be going to the Lord in prayer. Like, Jesus calls us to pray to our Heavenly Father. Scripture talks about how he hears us before we can even know what to ask for. He wants to care for us. And prayer, there's power in prayer. And I think that we, even in, as part of the church and even as believers, minimize the power that we have in prayer sometimes. You know, we can worry about stuff. There's one saying that I remember hearing that 90% of the things that we worry or panic about never happen. The other 10% are completely out of our control anyway. And that's, I mean, really true. Like, God is in control. Yeah. We feel like we have a lot more control than we actually do.
Levi, I looked up that verse that you had mentioned earlier on from Psalm 27, and it's so good. I just want to say it here. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? Mm-hmm. The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? Right. And just so powerful in pointing us back. Look, God's in control. He's the one we can trust in. He's the one who can deliver us. And so, you know, I'm hoping out there as you're confronting some of these real fears, and absolutely there are real fears out there in regards to the coronavirus and what do you do in a situation with work and that kind of thing. So we want to, you know, be an encouragement to you and let you know that we're in the same boat. We have some fears too. We're not sure how to do everything either. And so, but we're going to trust in God and pray to him and seek his guidance.
One thing that Rick Warren had said kind of about this is that he has been known to say that we shouldn't repress when we're feeling stressed out or panicked or fearful and keep it all inside. And we shouldn't express it by lashing out in panic or anger either, but instead we should confess our dependence to God in prayer. And I think for me, that's just a good reminder. It's reassuring, like, yep, my family, my loved ones, the church, the people that I care for, I can go to the Lord for all of them in prayer. I can cover them in prayer. That's going to be better than anything else that I can do. And it, like, it's just that first line of defense that I find myself minimizing too much or just overlooking too often.
And I think one of the beauties that we have as those who follow Jesus, we have one another, right? And as we're experiencing this thing as a community and as a nation, as a global community, we can go to each other and depend on each other. And, you know, the church is here to help, and the church is here to provide some security and some comfort and support. And so if there's something that you could need or use, email Travis, because he's the email we always give out. So travis@evangelup.org. We want to be a light in this situation.
Yeah. For our listeners and for our country and for actually the world. Today, we'd just like to end with a prayer. We'd like to pray for you guys and the listeners out there. And we'd also like to just pray for the leaders of the world as there's actually very little coronavirus in America right now, but there's other countries that are suffering in a different way than we are. Those same fears, we're all human. Those same fears and those same things are there also, I'm sure. And so if you would, we would just like to pray. And so if you're driving, keep your hands on your wheels and your eyes open. But we're going to pray. God, thank you for who you are, that you are in control. We're thankful that we don't have to be anxious about anything, but we can bring everything in prayer to you. And with thanksgiving, make our requests known to you. And God, you promise that the peace of God will give that to us, and that it will surpass all of our understanding. God, we pray for nations that are dealing with, we pray for the leaders of that. We pray for the medical staff and the people that are caring for those who are sick. And God, we pray for the fears that are out there. We pray for our country as we try to figure out how to mitigate risk. And God, let fear not be something that drives everything, but God, let us be practical about it, and let us take precautions, but also let us be people who care about each other just as fellow humans. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.